This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty. Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, all with you on this Wednesday morning.
You can watch us on the TV, right?
That's right. 1,449 people currently are.
Join that crowd.
It just says views. That means 1,400 people have at least checked it out. Bob's wearing the all black. I'm wearing the salmon pink. Wednesdays are for salmon.
The food and the color.
I do love some salmon.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what.
I'll tell you what, man. Yep. Two pieces of salmon at the same time, man.
Mm-hmm. Sam Elliott. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com.
He's growing his hair out like Mac, too.
Who, me?
No, Sam Elliott.
Oh, I was going to say, not me.
He's got flowing white locks of beautiful hair that I wish I could do.
Right. So we spent a lot of time talking about the AFC and, you know, who is, you know, who's the biggest, you know, thorn in the side of the Chiefs. I think right now it's just like it's been the last, what, 4 or 5 years. It's Buffalo. Yeah. Buffalo has clearly stated that that's who they want to be. They're playing Mr. Brightside. I tweeted and said when it comes to the playoffs, they're going to call Patrick Mahomes Mr. Darkside. I don't know if you saw that video of like Dalton Kincaid going nuts to the Killers, which... it's like every white guy's anthem.
That's me this weekend, baby.
Yeah. Yo. Now he's like
great song though. Who could argue?
Yeah. I think it's during a TV timeout, and they have the killer song, Mr. Brightside, just blaring, and he just goes absolutely nuts, and the whole crowd starts singing it in unison, word for word.
Is that a Buffalo thing?
I don't know.
No idea.
How many cigs did you have last night?
I tell you what, these damn allergies, man. Like God.
Sound like you had, like, speaking of Sam Elliott.
Yeah. My wife says, are you getting sick? Your voice? I'm like, I don't know. My eyes are itching and, you know, had to close the windows last night. You know how much I like a good open window.
That's right. I have mine open on it. I don't know. I'm just all hopped up on Zyrtec or whatever the hell it's called. But you think about the NFC side of things, because in the Chiefs Super Bowl runs that they've won Super Bowls and played in, they played San Francisco twice. They played Philadelphia, and they played Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay is decent. I don't think they get there.
Nah.
Philadelphia, I'll have that discussion. And then San Francisco, they're pretty badly bruised. But it's early.
It's early.
So they can still, you know, get everybody back around like week 7 or 8, and then all of a sudden go on that San Francisco 49ers run where they're like 8th or 9th in the power rankings. And then by the time we get to like mid-January, it's like they're the second best team in football. Mm-hmm. So I ask you all, who's your NFC team that you could see the Chiefs playing in the Super Bowl?
For me?
Yeah, sure.
It's Minnesota right now. And I just like the way that they're playing. I like the way that Sam Darnold has kind of found a groove. I love Justin Jefferson. KOC is coaching his ass off right now. Adding Brian Flores was a nice addition to their defensive staff. They've got weapons all over that team. I think Minnesota could be that team that faces the Chiefs. Skull Vikings, man. Skull. Like, I would love that Super Bowl. I think that would be a fun Super Bowl. We'd call it the I-35 Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I think people would like it. Like, I think the Vikings would adopt that, like, America's team moniker because they haven't won a Super Bowl ever. And you're playing against a team going for a three-peat. Nobody would be rooting for the Chiefs, obviously. It'd be fantastic. Oh, yeah. Like, we'd be the enemy in all of that. I think the Vikings right now, just based on what I've seen through through 3 weeks, they're the team to me that I can make the most compelling case for. They don't have the injury situation. They don't have any drama going on. Like, things are going smooth up there in Minnesota. And I know for most Viking fans, they don't want to hear that because, you know, they're like Chiefs fans were, you know, until we won our Super Bowls. Everybody's nervous. Everybody doesn't think it's going to happen. But I think that Minnesota team may be the best team in the NFC right now.
Yeah, I'll go same as the preseason, same division, though. I'm going to stick with my Green Bay Packers take. Like, I know Jordan Love's been out, but they won those two games. The defense has actually gotten better since they fired Gus Bradley at the defense. I talked about Matt LaFleur earlier in the show. I think he's elevating himself into that top tier, that top echelon of coaches. Give me Green Bay. Once they get Jordan Love back, I think he's a top 7-8 quarterback, and that's good enough in the NFC. But I think you mentioned it earlier, it's early for the 49ers, and I think the Rams being hurt and also being 1-2 helps their case. If the Rams are 3-0 and Puka and Kupp are healthy, I'm like, it might be done for the Rams.
But what about Seattle being 3-0, though?
I guess I don't believe yet. Yeah. Talk to me after Monday Night Football. Yeah, I guess I don't believe.
And they're doing this without their starting running back and Kenny Walker.
It's true.
They're doing that with Zach Charbonnet.
Maybe I'm disrespecting.
I like a good glass of Charbonnet.
Do you?
Not really.
I was going to say, I think
I'm not a white wine guy.
Yeah.
I do.
I like a good un-oaked Chardonnay. Get a brand of wine at my buddy's Red Door Wine Store called
Good Store.
Yeah. It's called A to Z. It's from Willamette Valley. It's an un-oaked, non-buttery Chardonnay. It's fantastic. Some people, never mind. I will say this when it comes to the NFC team that I want to see. It's obvious. There's two reasons why I use both of these teams. One, I do believe that both these teams could be in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. Number one is the Lions. And the two reasons why the Lions are, I think they have the best NFC roster. I just trust Jared Goff with that offense. Jameis Winston has started to come around and really kind of, or they call him J-Mo.
Yeah.
He's really started to put that speed, knowledge, and route running all together, which is a beautiful thing. Sam Laporta has been non-existent so far this year. And once he starts to get healthy, and if he is healthy, that high ankle sprain that's got me nervous due to fantasy, that offense can get rolling. Plus, they have a dual threat at running back in Dave Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown. The defense is anchored by Aiden Hutchinson. They have their pass rusher. They've got a decent secondary. It's not great. It's below average. But, again, they can put up 40 points with the best of them if they really want to. And, again, the storyline of the Chiefs and Lions playing the Super Bowl. Everybody and their aunt, uncle, mother, brother, sister will be like, please let the Lions get their first Super Bowl. We're tired of seeing the Chiefs win. And then when the Chiefs win, you are the evil empire. You're the Yankees. You're the Patriots. You're the Celtics. You're the Bruins. You're everybody combined. Into one, and I think that'd be a fun thing to be is the absolute heel of not football, but all of sports.
All of sports, yeah, because the three-peat is a different echelon, right, man. It's the Yankees, it's the Bulls, and then it would be the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Like, I don't know, maybe the Islanders of the 80s or something, I think, may have three-peated. I don't know for a fact, but that's what it'd be. You'd be in, like, a rare, rare category that only the greats of all time. Michael, you're talking a Michael Jordan-led team, did it twice. Mm-hmm. You're talking a Derek Jeter-led team who did it one time with the three-peat, and then you're talking about a Patrick Mahomes-led team that would have done it with a three-peat. Three of the greatest sports stars of our generation. Think about that. So, Jordan is the greatest, Patrick Mahomes is the greatest, and Derek Jeter may be the most clutch player that I've ever seen on a baseball field in my entire life. I think when you talk about clutch players as well, the three clutchiest players I've ever seen are Mahomes, Jordan, and Jeter. I don't know that I put anybody else really in that category of those three guys, and to have those three guys be the focal points, if you will, of three-peats in professional sports. Well, it tells you why. They're clutch. They know how to win.
And sorry, I meant to say Jameis Williams. Jameis Winston is always on my mind. Jameis Williams.
Why is he playing yet? Something.
He should be.
Yeah, he should be playing.
He should be. It won't be long. I promise you that.
So you're out on the Eagles?
No, I am on it. I'm in on the Eagles. That's my other team.
It's your other team. Okay.
Because I think they have a roster that's fit for this season. I mean, again, they're playing good football, and now they're going to be without Devonta Smith, but A.J. Brown should be back. Dallas Goedert had one of the best catches of the year so far that led to a first down in a clutch situation. Saquon Barkley kind of seems like he's going to save that franchise, at least Nick Sirianni's job, for another year.
Maybe.
And we've seen in this league of football that this year the running back has been a valuable asset to the team. Their defense is still good. They have that massive, strong, quick, agile defensive line. Plus, the second part of it, how great would it be to beat Sirianni and the Eagles again in the Super Bowl?
It would be nice. So let me ask you this question. I'm going to ask you a couple simple questions. What is the Eagles' record right now?
2-1.
What place are they in?
Second
place in
the NFC. Tied for the lead.
Tied for the lead. Right? Yep. They're in first place, and you know, with the Commodes. And this is the poll question on WIP this morning, our sister station in Philadelphia. Do you believe in Nick Sirianni as the Eagles head coach? 66% of the votes say no.
Fair question to have.
They ask it every day.
That's Philadelphia for you.
Every day they're trying to ask questions about Nick Sirianni and complain about Nick Sirianni. The team's 2-1.
Wasn't that long ago the Chiefs went 9-7. They thought Andy Reid should get fired. That's a real thing. That's Bob Fesco. I'm Dusty Likens. Mac Morey on the other side. On the other side of that, we get to the QB conversation of the week here on a Wednesday on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, it's the age-old question in Kansas City. Where are we going to park? Well, the answer to that question is pretty simple when it comes to KCI. It's Park and Go. They are phenomenal. Number one, every spot is covered, so you never have to worry about your car being out in the bad weather or the hot sun of the summer. You're always going to be protected at Park and Go. And this year, they added 500 more new covered parking spots, so there's room for everybody to have their car protected when they're out of town. What I like to do is make my flight reservation, then go to bookparkandgo.com immediately after that and make my parking reservation. I always prepay because when I do that, I'm saving money. I'm getting their lowest rate. And then it's taken care of. You never have to worry about it again. Except the day you show up to park. You give them that reservation number and they've got the spot reserved for you. You pull into that spot and as soon as you get out of the car, the van takes you right to the airport terminal. When you get back, my goodness, this is where Park and Go really stands out above everybody else. The van's waiting for you. It doesn't matter what time you get back. We got back at 2:25 in the morning, and there was one van there waiting. It was Park and Go. Grab your bags, walk outside, jump on that van, and you're right back to the trunk of your car. So do what we did and join their frequent parker program and earn points towards free parking. Reserve your spot today at bookparkandgo.com. The best deals in parking. Bookparkandgo.com. Park and Go, family owned and operated. Got to give a correction, Dusty, from the corrections department. My man Barry over at the Jagos. Don't forget about the Lakers three-peating. And you're like, yeah, they almost did it twice, right? And then the Celtics kind of got in the way. I'm surprised Mac didn't remember that being a diehard Celtic fan.
Well, I did, but I didn't
want
to say anything.
You should have.
Okay, next time I will.
Next time you absolutely jump in.
Boy, Bill Russell.
I just Google searched teams to win a three-peat. Bulls, Lakers, Yankees, Packers. From 1929 to 1930.
That doesn't count, right? Okay. Like, I mean, does it? They were playing like the Providence Steamrollers.
Yeah, do we count the Bill Russell Celtics then?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I would count them.
This is the Oakland Athletics three-peated 72-74.
They did, yeah. They were some pretty special teams. Speaking of that.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. What's going to happen?
They won a walk-off last night,
by the way. I know, right? Yeah. But, like, tomorrow, did you send it to me about the warning, right?
Yeah, they updated security. Yeah, but the New York Islanders as well. Green Bay Packers.
I did say the Islanders,
yep. Celtics, Islanders. There's a ton on this list.
But how many are like in modern history? Like when we talk about the NFL modern history from 1970 on, like the merger on, or you can say the Super Bowl era if you want to go back to, you know, the 66 or something like that. But everything in the NFL begins in 1970. Doing something in the 20s, I mean, you had one other team that you were competing against, right? So,
yeah. I thought this team's name was the San Diego Soakers, but it's the Sockers.
Sockers,
like,
yeah.
I was like, damn.
They three-peated?
They five-peated from 88 to 92 in Major Indoor Soccer League.
Yeah.
I thought that was Zach Wilson's team.
No.
Okay.
That's really good, though.
I mean, if
I-Y-K-Y-K on that one, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Sometimes I'll say that to my wife. Hey. But anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, the three-peat. And then you mentioned the A's, and I guess their security warnings for their final game at the Coliseum. I mean, I was listening to our guy Ben Maller the other day, and they were talking about, like, what to expect at this final A's game. Like, people are going in there and stealing all the seats. Anything that's not tied down, they're going to try to get out of that stadium and steal and keep. And you said to me, would you do it? And I'm like, yeah, I would take a seat out of that stadium,
what
right?
What do you need to take a seat out? Just like an Allen wrench or you can get into the game with that?
Well, that was my question. So
how do you get a wrench into a game?
So Bob Fesco thought about that. Okay. And here's how you do it. My dad, when I was growing up, had this thing on his keychain that was like a flat screwdriver. It had like four different edges on it that you could use as a screwdriver kind of in your pocket that he kept on his key ring all the time. So if they're just bolted in with simple screws, and based on that stadium it may be, or you could just rock them at that place and pull them out at that point in time, I think it's probably a lot easier to get a chair out of that stadium than most people are thinking. But I think it is going to turn ugly. I mean, the jackass owner of that team wrote a letter yesterday to the fans saying, oh, we tried. We're sorry it didn't work out. Up yours, pal. Mm. Right? Like, nobody wants to hear that. And so, yeah, Thursday's going to be interesting. Like keep an eye on what happens at the Oakland Coliseum, because, like, when the K closes down and they open the new downtown ballpark or wherever they decide to build it, aren't you going to want a seat?
Yeah. I mean, like,
they're good seats at Kauffman Stadium. Arrowhead, they can keep them. They're cheap plastic. But Kauffman Stadium's got nice, thick seats.
I think it's hole 6 at Drum Farm, the golf course. I think it's a par 3. And on the right side in someone's backyard, like close to the cart path, there's two old Kauffman Stadiums.
The orange ones.
And I'm always like, oh, that's sick. Kind of a, and like, that's how I would use those. I'd be like, you know what? Some random, like, you know, Sunday afternoon, I'm waiting for football to, like, start the 3 o'clock slate, walk out there with a cold beer and just talk to golfers and sit in my stadium seat. That's how I would use it. That would be cool, right?
Like, wouldn't that be cool, like, to have, like, if as a Kansas City sports fan, have a seat from Municipal Stadium, Municipal Auditorium, Kemper Arena, Arrowhead, Kauffman Stadium, like, have all those in your, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just a dork, but I think that would be kind of cool to have those old stadium seats. I've always, like, I could have had Kemper Arena seats back, like, they were just giving them
maybe
away.
Maybe that's a conversation we have tomorrow. What would be your three things you would take from Kauffman?
Yeah.
I think fountain water would be up there high for a lot of people. I think a seat would probably be a big one. And then somebody might say turf, because I remember when they got rid of the AstroTurf,
they sold those.
Yeah, my grandpa had one of those on the wall, like on a plaque. I'm like, why did you want that? He goes, I don't know.
I don't know. But you do. Like, I will say this, and I'm not joking when I say this.
Yeah.
Binkley's Arrowhead turf is his most prized possession.
Really?
Yeah. He's got a piece of turf from old Arrowhead. That is his most prized possession.
That's amazing.
Cool. I mean, that's, you know.
I'd like to take the Crown Vision and put that in my house.
Sure.
I'd put that in the backyard.
Yeah.
Come on over and watch the game. What kind of TV you got? I got this Crown Vision.
Don't get caught on that. Poll question of the week that we have for you at the Fan 965 on X. I thought this yesterday. I've asked a couple people, and I knew it was a good question because it wasn't one of those, it's this guy no matter what. Like, it wasn't a quick response. And judging by the 115 votes that we already have on this, it's very close. But there are two names in sports that I think will be the top of the trade discussion because their teams are ass. And that is Myles Garrett and Devontae Adams. And I asked you guys yesterday, and I've asked a couple buddies of mine, if you could add one player on this Chiefs roster this year out of those two guys, who are you adding, Myles Garrett or Devontae Adams? Right now, the poll question is divided between itself, as Myles Garrett has 49% and Devontae Adams has 51%.
Are you kidding? It's that close. Wow.
And now there's only 98 votes.
What's the margin of error?
Yeah. I mean, look, would you rather add to this Chiefs roster this year? Because I do believe come week 6, I believe we will see those two names up for discussion as guys that are, look, Devontae Adams wants a ring. He's getting close to the end of his career.
Yeah.
And Myles Garrett's probably the third best defensive player in the NFL, maybe the second. I think it's TJ Watt without a question.
Without a question,
and
he's
then you
can
discuss Parsons or Garrett, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I look at it from both sides of the player. Myles Garrett joins this defense. They probably don't allow 17 points or more than 17 points the rest of the year. Right? You can go ahead and lock up Josh Allen with that defensive pressure. You can just absolutely destroy a run game. You'd have Omenihue coming back and by the end of the season after his ACL.
I haven't heard from him recently.
Well, he tore his ACL the worst possible time you could tear your ACL. He tore it like the AFC Championship.
Yeah, that puts you out the entire next year, right?
He posted something on Twitter last week.
Last week he did? Okay.
He did.
And my mind goes crazy when I think of Myles Garrett, Chris Jones, and George Karloftis mixing Wharton and, you know, FAU, and then Omenihue when he comes back. And
you didn't even mention Mike Dana.
And I haven't mentioned him yet either.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I think of the other side of it where I'm like, well, Devontae Adams. Okay. Devontae Adams isn't the same speedy Devontae Adams, but you'd essentially have two Rashee Rices on your roster, plus Hollywood Brown, plus Travis Kelce, plus a mixture in your backfield of Kareem Hunt, Isaiah Pacheco when he comes back, Carson Steele, and this offense might get back to that 2018 offense that was putting up 41 points a game.
I'm going Myles Garrett, though, 100% on this one. That's my philosophy on that, because I think they're fine on offense. Everybody worries, you know, early in the season about this kind of stuff. Convert one more field goal into a touchdown in all three of your games and you blow everybody out, right? So I'm not that concerned by it. I just kind of salivate over the fact that Myles Garrett could be lining up on the other side of George Karloftis. And then you mentioned FAU, and then we mentioned mentioned Mike Danna, and then you mentioned the interior of guys that we have. The way that Steve Spagnuolo is the most successful as a defensive coordinator is when he has depth and the ability to rotate on the defensive line and to keep those guys fresh. He's been doing it for over 20 years. That's what took down Tom Brady in that first Super Bowl with the Giants. It wasn't Eli Manning going out there and balling and playing his, you know, out his mind. It wasn't necessarily David Tyree's catch that gave you the opportunity to win that Super Bowl. It was the fact that they had doubly deep defensive lines that the backups could start for any other team in the NFL that year on the Giants. And you just rotate that talent in and they're constantly fresh. Steve Spagnuolo, if he was able to get Myles Garrett, would probably walk around as the proudest human being of all time going, oh my God, I've got legitimately now FAU, George Karloftis, Myles Garrett, and Mike Danna. Think about that four group of players right there. All four of those guys could probably start for just about any other team in the NFL, and now they're rotational guys here in Kansas City. How sick is that defensive line going to be, and how sick is it going to be to see Steve Spagnuolo take those guys and just do crazy things with them, and how sick is it going to be in February when all those guys are fresh along the defensive line and they're beating up whatever quarterback they're facing in that Super Bowl, man. So give me Myles Garrett on this team.
Gosh, yeah, I think that's more fun. I think the Myles Garrett's more fun.
Yeah,
I think it is. Yeah, because you can always double Chris, but now you can't. You can't double both Myles and Chris Jones. I mean, that would be absolutely just fear for the quarterbacks, but I'd go on the offensive side just because I think that's where the quote-unquote need is. I know it's not a need, but I think there's more help needed on that side, so I'd go Devontae.
They always say offense sells tickets, defense wins games, and that is the truth. Like, you need a defense to go out there and shut down the opponent, because I think points are becoming harder to come by in the NFL these days, right? We're seeing it right here in Kansas City. We're seeing it around the league. I don't want to hear 47 that Buffalo put up. They played against a Jacksonville team who quit after the end of the first quarter. Mm. And they probably quit after losing to Miami on opening day, quite honestly. Like, Jacksonville may not get a win this year. So I'm not putting a lot of stock into the 47 they put up, but man, you go out there and play defense. What do we say? The 24 straight games, this defense has allowed 28 or fewer points. Mm-hmm. That's insanity, man. You stop the opposition, you got such a much easier time to win a football game, and you don't have to put the pressure on your offense to have to go out there and score 30. So that's why I would go defense.
Somebody from the text line says, you think the Raiders would trade with us to help us? Doubtful. Hey, it could be a business decision. According to Antonio Pierce, some guys are checking out, and he's going to make some business decisions.
That's right.
The other thing, too, is that, like, I don't think the Raiders – I mean, you say they wouldn't trade with the Chiefs, but, I mean, look.
What if their best offer came from Kansas City?
Right. And then it says, be real, guys. Chiefs never pick up anyone at the deadline, so I wouldn't count on it.
Nobody
Terrell
does.
Suggs, Le'Veon Bell, LeSean McCoy.
Revis.
Terrell Revis.
Yeah, those were all like
veteran guys that they were trying to get away.
Yeah, but they weren't like trade. I don't think any of those were trades per se, but nobody in the NFL trades. People act like the trade deadline in the NFL is this big thing, right, and guys are getting traded. It doesn't happen. It's more hype than anything, and it's also fun to talk about. Like,
yeah,
only people that trade are the Carolina Panthers, and look where it got them.
That's right.
Ooh,
Bryce Young. And they still owe the Bears another pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So again, and we're not saying it's going to happen. We just want to do a hypothetical for our weekly poll on the Fan 965 on our Twitter feed or X feed. 151 votes are in the 15 minutes we've had it up. 51% say Devontae Adams, 48% say Myles Garrett.
That's a close vote. I am stunned it's that close, quite honestly. I thought it would run away with Devontae Adams,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, offense.
And you know, people want to use logic and, you know, be like that kind of fan. This is a fun conversation that you're going to have with your boys at a bar. Would you rather have Myles Garrett or Devontae Adams on this team? And you're off and running.
Speaking of off and running, Trevor Lawrence's career is off and running the wrong direction. If you're the Jags, do you trade him in the offseason and get whatever you can for him and try to move on? Or do you bench him to try to maybe get some like courage into his mind, because he's 0 for his last 8?
Yeah.
He's had 53 starts and it ain't looking good. And I'm going to be upright and honest. I'll look directly in the camera. I was 1,000,000,000,000,000% wrong about Trevor Lawrence.
You thought he was going to be good?
I thought he was. I had him as my dark horse MVP last year.
Wow. Okay.
I admit that. Right. That's a receipt that I will show.
Cool.
I had him as my MVP last year as a dark horse winner, because I thought, okay, got to the playoffs, had a really shaky start in the first quarter, threw 4 interceptions, ended up throwing 5, still somehow beat the Chargers. And I thought to myself, okay, yeah, Dusty, that's probably just the Chargers collapse with Brandon Staley. And then,
but that's still a big comeback, bro.
Right.
Like I think we were all kind of, and then they came here and played the Chiefs tight in that
really
game,
tight,
you know?
And it's It's bad, man. He's lost 8 games in a row going back. He's gone almost 365 days without a win. They haven't won since Thanksgiving of last year.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it's not looking great. It's going to cost his coach a job. Mm-hmm. And I saw the funniest thing in the world is that is Trevor Lawrence responsible for the failure of Urban Meyer's NFL career? And I had to think about it like you are right now. And I'm like, no, Urban was a scumbag.
Yeah,
but also, like, maybe his quarterback really isn't good. And the guy that played in high school that never lost a game, the guy that won a national title as a freshman at Clemson, the guy that was number one overall pick, like we said earlier in this week, that the baseball coach in high school said, sometimes you get to a level of talent that you just can no longer compete with.
Well, and that's what athletes have a tough time with, and we've talked about this for years, is that when they get to the pro level, they just think they're going to out-talent everybody, and they don't do the little things. I don't know if Trevor Lawrence is doing the things necessary on Monday through Saturday to get ready for a game. I don't know the answer to those questions. His performance would tell you he's not doing those things. And when you get to the NFL or to Major League Baseball, everybody's a good athlete, everybody has talent, and everybody's better than you or as good as you. How are you going to be better than them? You've got to put in that work during the week. From his play, it doesn't look like Trevor Lawrence is putting in the work because he's never had to. And a lot of times people have those moments where they wake up and they go, oh my God, my career's at a crossroads. I could choose to continue to go down this path and wallow in the minors or as a backup quarterback, or I can take my own career into my own hands and do those necessary things during the week. It doesn't look like Trevor Lawrence is at that level based on the record and the way that he's playing right now. And he's got the same exact number of Will Levis, the same numbers as Will Levis is putting up right now. Same exact numbers as Will Levis. They're both 0-3. They both have a 75 passer rating. They both have about 560 passing yards. They both have a horrible touchdown interception ratio, and they're not thrown for many yards. So I look at Trevor Lawrence right now, and I'll say this. If you fire Doug Peterson, then you need to trade Trevor Lawrence this offseason, because then it would be his third head coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
His third head coach in the NFL.
Right?
You do not want to saddle a new head coach with Trevor Lawrence as your quarterback. You got to move on from both of them. So if you're firing Doug Peterson, you need to move on from the quarterback as well.
Are you giving up all hope in Trevor Lawrence over there, Mr. Sam Darnold?
I'm not. Exactly. And that's the perfect example, right? Sam Darnold took a long time. He had some worse situations than I think Trevor's had. But Trevor maybe had the worst situation of all coming into his rookie year with Urban Meyer. But that's since gone. I mean, we're 2 years
gone.
Removed.
I mean, they won a playoff game with Doug Peterson, man.
Exactly.
Like that's ancient history, in my opinion.
We saw him perform, I don't know, I don't want to say really well, pretty well, above average for a season and a half. And then 8 games ago in the regular season, it all went to crap, and since then it hasn't come back. I don't know. I'm not completely out, but I mean, did you guys see that clip of him spinning away from no one?
Oh yeah.
No, I've not seen that.
I'll have to send it to you, Bob. I mean, literally, it's a clean pocket, and he just spins into midair. I mean,
then he's got to go.
Yeah, he's broken right now. He's broken. Yeah.
He's chasing ghosts and demons at the same
exactly
time.
Exactly right.
I thought there was a lot of slander for unnecessary reasons yesterday. I know Shannon Sharp was one of them on Tuesday, and I think somebody else on Monday. Talking about how Joe Burrow's not a top 5 quarterback anymore.
Yeah, people were like ready to pounce on Joe Burrow, right?
I don't really agree with it because he had a really good game against the Chiefs, and he had a really good game against Washington.
He did.
He played good against Washington. They didn't lose that game.
They didn't punt.
His defense is what it is, and this is Chris Canty on Joe Burrow.
When your quarterback has a chance to go win the game, he's got to win the game.
Fair.
And Joe Burrow didn't do that. Jaden Daniels did. That's the problem that I have. The Cincinnati Bengals, they have a very, very specific formula for how they're going to have to win games. They're going to have to be led by their offense. You know how I know that? How they spend money. The Cincinnati Bengals are top 5 in spend on the offensive side of the ball relative to the rest of the league. They're 22nd in cash spend on defense. Newsflash, the defense for the Bengals ain't going to be as good as the offense. The offense is what's going to have to win the day. Only problem is the Commanders offense with a rookie quarterback in his third start won the damn game. I'm tired of all the excuses for Joe Burrow. Oh, the defense let Joe Burrow. No, Joe Burrow let Joe Burrow down. Joe Burrow let the offense down. Joe Burrow let the team down. Great stats. Great stat line. Oh, it's amazing. He's had all of these touchdowns, no interceptions. But what did you do when the game was in the balance? What did you do when the game was on the line? You know the answer is? It's not enough. You know how I know it's not enough? It's because your team doesn't have a win and you're going into week 4. The damn Carolina Panthers got a win before the Cincinnati Bengals did. Let that sink in.
Okay. Well, God, that's just a bad take.
Joe Burrow so far this year has a 70.9 completion percentage.
That's pretty damn good.
That's almost 15% higher than the NFL average. He's thrown for 746 yards. He's averaging 7.2 yards an attempt, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
That's a really bad take by Chris Canty. Like, unbelievably uneducated, terrible take.
I understand that they're not winning.
The defense gave up 38 points and never forced Washington to punt. You took a rookie quarterback on the commodes and didn't force them to punt. And you're going to sit there and blame Joe Burrow?
Yeah,
isn't
right.
Chris Canty a defensive player?
Probably.
Right? Wasn't he an old defensive player for the Carolina Panthers, I think? So that's why he's blaming the quarterback, because he's an old defensive player that's trying to give the defense the benefit of the doubt. This defense, if I'm not mistaken, now you guys correct me if I'm wrong, Mac, it's okay, right, to correct me if I'm wrong. Fire it out there. Factually, not opinionated, but factually, if I'm wrong, you let me know. But I'm just looking. Joe Burrow's defense got blistered by the New England Patriots, which is a high school offense at best. They committed a major personal foul against the Chiefs at the end of the game to give the Chiefs the opportunity to win the football game. And then they gave up 38 points to the Washington Commodes. And Chris Canty has got a job at ESPN, and he's sitting there blaming Joe Burrow? That's just an asinine take by Chris Canty.
Fact
That's
check
stupid.
True. Fact check true.
The, all good? I wasn't true. Wrong in any of
Look,
and if I am, tell me.
I don't like Cincinnati. I like Joe Burrow, though, so I'm not going to let people slander a guy. Just like whenever Aaron Rodgers does something good, I will admit that he did something good. He looked good against the New England Patriots. Congratulations. Let's see how you do in this next week.
Right.
But you look at Joe Burrow's, the two biggest things that affect the Cincinnati Bengals this year, which is their own fault. The franchise, not the quarterback. They did exactly what they should have done with Joe Burrow and signing. He got him to a Super Bowl and beat Patrick Mahomes. How many people actively right now can honestly say that they have beaten Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs? One.
One active person and one broadcaster.
One guy. Not only that, his defense is bottom feeder in defense. Like, they have
bottom feeder.
Points allowed a game, 26. They're allowing 26.7 points per game.
That's at Burrow's fault.
They're allowing 142.3 rushing yards per game. And they are 28th in the NFL in rushing. You know what's happening? They're able to score on offense. Mm-hmm. They're able to pass the ball and be productive with Joe Burrow and those receiver with those wide receivers. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins eventually will come around. First game back, had almost 40 yards and four receptions. Thing is, they ain't running the ball and they ain't stopping the run.
Right.
So if they can't burn clock and they can't stop clock, they're running out of time and they're not able to keep up with other teams and get a lead. Again, you can blame Joe Burrow if you're just a hater. That's fine. But to say that Joe Burrow is not a top five quarterback is an asinine take. It is a terrible take. It is not an accurate take. He's a top five quarterback, and he's probably the third best quarterback in the NFL.
You know, that take by Chris Canty is what gives sports radio sometimes a bad name, right? Mm-hmm. And I hate stuff like that, because we had Todd McShay, which we'll get to in our next segment, say maybe the most slanderous thing you could ever say about Travis Kelce.
Right.
And then Chris Canty coming on board screaming that Joe Burrow is at fault. And I'm just like, God, it's not a good take. It's not an educated take, and it's not a right take to sit there and that's, you know, opinions like that are why people look at sports radio and go, oh my God, it's just a bunch of blowhards out there. But you know what? It's not. It's sometimes people are just uneducated and want to go with an opinion that just doesn't make sense, and that's where Chris Canty falls into that category. What platform is he with?
I honestly don't know.
Never heard of him. Coming back on the other side, we get into Todd McShay's D-bag comments because he's fat shaming and he should just look himself in the mirror because he looks... Yeah, never mind. Be kind. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Never heard of him.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the 8 o'clock hour, grinding along on this week. Tomorrow is Thursday, and then it could be a Purple Friday.
We just don't know what's going to happen on Friday. Royals can clinch as soon as tomorrow.
That is true. If the Royals clinch and the Royals have a Red Friday, you have a blue October-ish, September-ish, and a Red Friday together, watching a lot of Bob Ross, that should create a nice, perfect little lavender. And we'll make some happy accidents, and you don't tell anybody about that tree over there. It's our tree. Trivia question for you two. What was the name of Bob Ross's squirrel that he kept in his front pocket?
Well, I do not know the answer to that question.
Idea.
No.
Peapod.
Peapod.
Hmm.
Yep.
Is that what you call your squirrel?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We haven't had a squirrel problem since we got the dog.
That's
been great.
Yeah, you got to love that. I want to get into it quick because it's quite a bit lengthy of audio. Todd McShay sucks.
So I don't understand this.
Uh-oh.
And maybe it's a political thing. Maybe it's like the NFL, and maybe I'm going to wind up getting a phone call from the league offices. Maybe it's the Taylor Swift. I don't know. But like when you're staring at something so obvious, why? Like Chris Collinsworth is honest to God, my favorite analyst out there to watch. Most respected analyst, I think, in football for anyone who has half a brain.
Wow.
And for like
Tom Brady,
every show I watch, every pregame show, halftime show, postgame show, weekday show, every broadcast I watch for the last few weeks, it's like, are we not allowed to say that he's out of shape? That he's been partying all offseason? He's been jet setting around with the most famous person probably in the entire world? That he's drinking on, you know, going to the U.S. Open and he's got cocktails in it? Like,
I don't know, but if he, all right, but look.
Stop.
We both know there's a difference between having a drink at the U.S. Open and then thinking that it's just because of guy. I don't know that.
No, I know that. But right. What I do know is I want you to take a picture from preseason 2022 and then take a picture preseason 2024. They're barely the same human being, Ryan. And everyone's like, we got to get the ball. Why isn't he part of the offense? The defense is double. Yeah, the coverage is this. Here's the thing. Bottom line with Kelsey. The coverage and the respect he gets is the same. The athlete is not. Now, is he going to work himself into shape during the season? Yeah, I'm sure he will. He's an unbelievable competitor. He's one of the best to ever do it. And he still finds a way to make a play or two here and there and shows up in some clutch moments. But he's not the same guy right now. Look at him. Just look at his face.
I'm looking at his face right now. And I've got a 22 pickup and I've got a 24 pickup. I don't know. I mean, every picture's different. I remember Derek Jeter showed up one year. It looked like he weighed 275 pounds. It was just a bad angle.
I'm just saying.
I had a show in Utah.
There's no debating that his body type is different. He's not in the same shape. He's not the same. Like, I don't see the same explosiveness. I see him wearing down a little bit in games. It's okay. He'll work himself back into shape. It's not the first guy ever who's not like quite in the elite shape that he was. And now like you're sitting here and you're defending him too. Is there some kind of like message I'm not getting from the league that you're not allowed to say he's not in the same shape? He's not able to produce at the highest level right now. And he'll probably work himself back into shape by week 8, 9, 10 this season. Are we not allowed to say that?
You're allowed to say that he's not in the same shape that he was a couple of years ago, Todd. But what you're not allowed to say is to insinuate that he spent all offseason partying. You sound like a caveman Neanderthal. You sound like get in your playbook guy. And those statements right there are probably why they picked Mel Kiper over you to stay at ESPN, right? And
lose-lose situation.
Yeah, exactly. But
do we want the vampire or a guy who complains about people being skinny fat?
Right. Yeah, like what you just did to Travis Kelce, I think is basically slander. You're looking at a guy who went to a U.S. Open on his off time and had fun with his friends and his girlfriend. Tell me you've never done that. Well, maybe you haven't, Todd. There's a good chance you haven't because you're such a nerd. Okay, so there's a good chance you've never done anything fun in your entire life. Todd McShay is the person who gives the sports fan a bad name because he believes you should be 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, dedicated to being a football player. Do you do that in your own job, Todd? Or do you actually take time off and enjoy yourself and live life? Because in America, we spend way too much time thinking about our jobs and worrying about everybody else's job. You got to stop and smell the roses. You got to enjoy life. Travis Kelce's enjoying life right now. And it sure seems like Todd McShay is jealous that Travis Kelce is living a better life than he could ever have dreamt about living in his entire life. And that's what it ultimately comes down to. Todd McShay is jealous he's not Travis Kelce, so he's going to fat shame him.
Yeah. And people will say, think about all the extra commitments outside of football. Game show host, actor, podcast, Taylor Swift. He did all that last year minus the game show.
Right.
minus, I mean, he was acting in commercials. Mm-hmm. He did it all in June.
You don't understand. They do this stuff like in the summer in his downtime. He's not leaving the Arrowhead practice facility and going to California and filming videos and doing movies and doing TV shows instead of practicing football. And I think it's disrespectful, disgraceful, and despicable to think a player like Travis Kelce would be doing something like that. That's a slap into the face of Travis Kelce, a guy who's given his all to the NFL, his all to the Kansas City Chiefs, his all to this city, to have anybody think that he's not giving his all right now. I think you suck if you don't think Travis Kelce's out there busting his ass right now to do everything to help this football team win games. It's despicable on you if you've got problems with Travis Kelce, because he's done nothing but be a stud superstar player and citizen right here in Kansas City. And for people to go, oh, he's video this and doing all that, he's living his best life, and the jealousy just reeks from people on it, man. I've become more of a Travis Kelce fan today because of those comments by Todd McShay, maybe, than I've ever been before. And that's hard to be better than, you know, a huge fan of somebody, right? Mm. Like, I just find it really, really pathetic, really small, really embarrassing to see anybody complaining about anything that Travis Kelce is doing. The guy's played hurt. The guy's played banged up. The guy was the only offensive weapon for a couple of years when nobody else was doing their job. Like, of all people to attack, mm-hmm. you're going after one of the greatest football players and human beings of all time. Suck it, McShay.
Same number on the text line that says Kelce is distracted with Swift podcast show says, exactly. And Kelce wasn't good last year either.
He had almost 1,000 yards, missed two games rested him and dominated the postseason, bro.
I would say he didn't have his career year, but he still had 984, averaged 10.6 a reception, which is significantly down from the past. 5 touchdowns, which he's done that 4 other times in his career. Look, 8 yards a target. He's averaged 8 yards a target the last 3 years. His career average on target average is 8.9. To say he wasn't good last year is a lazy take.
It is.
To say
it's a terrible
he wasn't
take.
All world. He wasn't 1,300, 1,400, 1,200, 1,300, 1,100 receiving yards. Guess what? He doesn't have to be.
Let's say he plays those other two games, right? He's not hurt for the first game and plays the last game because, you know, they need to. He plays 17 games last year. Give him another 200 yards.
Yeah.
He's pushing 1,200.
And again, the argument that we wrap this up in is that we're not pretending that there's not issues. We have very, very loudly said that the wheels are slowing down. He's 35.
That's called life.
If I were to also tell you what Travis Kelce's numbers were and not let you look at the Chiefs record, I guarantee you everybody out there would not say 3-0.
Right.
If I'd have told you right now that Travis Kelce has 8 receptions for 69 yards and 0 touchdowns, what do you think the Chiefs record is for the first 3 weeks? I bet you a lot of people would say 2-1, 1-2.
Yeah. Right.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
They're 3-0. Because the torch is being passed to Rashee Rice being the bulk leader. Now, again, I'm being open and honest. There is a downtick in Travis Kelce's game. It's called being 35.
It's called father time.
It's called time is undefeated. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that it's about is he doesn't have to be that guy.
Right.
Clearly. They're 3-0. Patrick Mahomes has 5 touchdowns and 4 picks. Not playing his best football. They're 3-0. Mm-hmm. Rashee Rice is the second best wide receiver, according to statistical proof, in the NFL right now. Why? Because he can be. Travis Kelce doesn't have to be. So no one's pretending that the numbers are down and that the play style is not the same. But to go after somebody because they're fat and in love and stuff like that when they're not fat, come on, man.
It's just a better take. It really is embarrassing. I mean, Todd McShay, you need to come out with an apology for that. And I love the fact that Ryan Russillo was kind of pushing back and going, wait, where are we going with this?
Sorry, he's on your fantasy team and you're not winning.
Well, that's exactly, there's that as well. Or maybe he didn't grant you an interview, Todd. Or maybe you said he wasn't going to be any good in the NFL and now he's having success. Whatever it is, Todd McShay should be embarrassed today. Really embarrassed. Don't even look in a mirror.
We'll go back and take a visit to what the poll question was today on our Twitter page. Plus, we'll be joined by Royals manager Matt Cotrero on the other side. Listen to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Travis Kelce support.
You're listening to Fesco and
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.